Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Friday. I can't believe it's finally the weekend. Can you believe that? It just keeps showing up time after time. What's really cool is that it's getting closer and closer to the summit, which is crazy. It's so much work. This is the fun part when we are just like down to it. And one of the coolest things is we had this big thing show up in our lives yesterday, actually three really big things. Yesterday was not an easy day by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, you realize that you wake up and you take care of things and you make things happen, and whether it's good or bad or indifferent and you're not sure why things are happening, things happen the way they should. And life really gives you its best shot, and it teaches us so much about our capabilities. And that's why I love Questions Friday, because I get to hear what's going on in our minds and really tackle these topics. So I have a question from Marco, and he says, and it was on the Nadia Khalil morning page where we have the all the questions, and I got to, you know, copy them right when I get them or I'll lose them. But this one is from Marco, and he says, "Hello, Nadia. I have a question. When we can see flowers at home, which are more beautiful than on earth? How can we see our souls? Can we have form like a human body, but then in another form, like energy maybe? So I mean, can we have a human form at home? How can we look like at home? Can we recognize each other in a form also? Marco." That is a question you really have to think a lot about, because I know that before I went home, I never really thought about my soul and my body being separate. I never thought about anything I see here never being seen again by me. For me, before I saw Christ, I thought home was here, just like here, but there was no mean people, but everything would be the same, that we'd still have houses and cars. And, you know, I thought that it was crazy how much you just can't see past what it's like on earth. So when I saw Christ and I did see the flowers at home, and honestly, they're nothing like what I've seen here, because what I remember most about what I saw was the colors. I didn't like go up to them. I saw them as I was literally on my way to God, because Christ was showing me how I agreed to do this, because in the beginning I didn't fight it like, oh, I'm fighting Christ, but I didn't know what to do with me. And he reminded me that I came here to do this, and he showed me how, you know, we go before God and we say, God, you know, okay, I'm going down to earth and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And in that time when we're doing that, our soul is not in a body yet. So it's just our soul, and our soul looks like a seahorse shape, and like an S, but more seahorse-ish, and you're just like floating around, no big deal. And what happened is, if you go around home, there, not every soul that's there has actually been to Earth. Some choose to come here to learn, but you know, there's a ton that haven't been. And every, I want to say, seahorse or S-shaped soul, it takes different density, different, like, density of white. And it depends on where they went and what they learned, because it's all about the learning. Some want to learn more, some want to learn others. And it's amazing that, you know, there is, obviously, no judgment or any of that, but no matter what you put over that soul, because some of these souls have traveled to other places like we are here, and so we know that here there's a human form, and we have arms and legs, and we have to be grounded. We can't just fly around, and we have body maintenance. We need to eat. We go to the bathroom. We have to be able to sit down. We get tired. If we don't take care of ourselves, it shows up in our body, our mind, our soul, and, you know, all these things are totally just non-existent there. So if no matter what form you take, your soul is always known. They can see your soul first. And it's amazing because when I first saw Christ and I would look at people, I only saw their soul first. And then what they looked like, I had to catch up to. I would just have to catch up to it. It was crazy that I had to, like, learn, relearn. But what people looked like to me never mattered the same. What people felt like to me mattered all the time. I didn't look at someone and say, oh, wow, look at them. Whether they were maxed out in ego and had to name brand their whole body, or whether they just had shorts and a t-shirt on, or wherever they lived, or whatever car they drove, none of that enters my scope anymore. All that I see is how someone makes me feel. And at home, you just know who a soul is, no matter what decoration they put on top of them, depending on where they have traveled and learned. It's really interesting. There is no pretense between souls. So another interesting thing, which I think would be interesting to you, Marco, is that when you want to know another soul at home, what we do is we just float through each other. We like fly through each other. We like intersect for a minute. One will go into the other and come out the other end. And sometimes you just do it together and you both come out the other end. But how it works is when you do that, you pick up all the data of that soul, everywhere they've been, all of it. You will know every single thing about them. So what happens when you know every single thing about them is, you know, it's all about experience and gaining experience, and, you know, your light gets denser, you get bigger in energy and all of that. It's just a matter of fact. You will know it, but you don't necessarily get their experience that they've done as your experience, even though you flowed through them. All you get is the information of them, like their database of everything. So they don't have to tell you, oh, I've been here and I've been there and I went there and I did this and I did that. Like we tell each other, they just float through each other and that takes care of itself. Another thing at home is that there is no like particular gender. We're all just souls, but there is a more feminine slant and a more intellectual slant, and it's all run by energy. So there's different energies, and each energy is respected. And if you notice that in Origins of Truth, Christ talks about how at the end of this life, it's not going to be this big scary day of judgment and what you've done and what you don't, because really every time someone dies it's their day of judgment, but there is no judgment. We just go back home and review our life. I know my mom used to tell us when we die, everyone who's dead already and everyone who's alive will all be together, and all the good you did will be on your right side and all the bad you did will be on your left side. And if your left side was, your left list was longer than your right list, you were going to go to hell and you would be shamed and all your clothes will be off and everyone will see you. Imagine the elaboration of that story. I wish at times my mom was alive so I can tell her, you know, the details of what I've seen. because that was one of my scary stories that I had growing up. And the other one was, if it was on your right side, you would be respected and you'll go to heaven and, you know, you will have done your job on earth. And imagine me with all those stories seeing Christ and going, uh-uh, what are you talking about? There's no hell. There has to be a hell. I'm invested. I did all these good things and I need to go to heaven, you know, and feeling like that. And he's like, you're going to heaven, all right, but so is everyone else. There isn't a hell. And I thought, no way. No way. So it was really interesting that, you know, seeing all of this, it was such, I want to say, a calmness that I came back to. Coming back home, and it was, he showed me all that in like a few nights. And the colors didn't matter, the flower as much. Maybe, you know, if I go back and see that again, the form we didn't need. But everything is about energy. And now we have evolved into talking about energy as an everyday thing. Oh, they have good energy. Oh, that is good energy. Oh, I don't like that energy. We're speaking like that now. We're not even giving it a second thought. So we are evolving to these understandings. Like Christ said, if you know it and you saw it, everyone has the capability of knowing it and seeing it. You're just reminding them so that we know we have this capability, and then boom. We are allowed now that energy because now we know it exists. Does it make me special? No. I'm just telling you it exists, and you're saying, hey, wow. And I wanted to, and that question I hope I answered well for you, Marco. I wanted to jump into the chat because we had a big happening here. I guess it was Liam's birthday earlier, and now Liam left his job. He said, I gave up work yesterday. Even my manager and boss expected it. My face kept breaking out in allergies a very hard few months. Hope to be here more often. And Francis wrote, that's too bad, Liam. I hope you can find more compatible chemicals to work with. Liam, I won't be working in that type of job again. It's brutal. 15-hour days. Can you get? Oh, okay. So that's really cool, Liam. That's a big decision. You said you're working now. I think you said, Liam, I'm glad you're taking care of yourself. That's from Nancy. Nancy and Francis, you guys are so loving. You know, thank you for that. And that's a big decision to leave a job, because you get used to so many different things and then, you know, they're gone. But I guess the job that you have took away more than it gave you, or you would have still been there. But wow, congratulations on not being scared to make a change. And, you know, I hope and pray that you find what you love more so that it can be a bigger part of your life. It's not easy when the place you go every day isn't helping your health or your personality or your heart. So gosh, you know, good for you. So now I have another question. We have kind of along the same lines. This question is from Princess Leah, known as Princess Leah on Facebook. So Leah writes, I've got some questions for Friday, and they are, number one, what is the difference between being something and being of something? For example, being of fine. I normally don't hear that said. It is just how Christ chose to speak at the time, or does it carry a specific meaning as if he had said fine instead of, and instead would that have been wrong, as in a different meaning? You're talking about the way the language was in Origins of Truth. I don't know if you guys notice when you read Origins of Truth at first, it almost sounds like another language, and then it kind of melts into more of our language. When I first saw Christ, it was like I couldn't make sense of what he was meaning by the things he said to me, and I'd go back and try to change some of the words so that people can understand it. This is in the beginning when I didn't even know that's the part that people would be reading, but at that time, when I was writing, I was giving people like little clips of what I wrote. Like I'd talk to them and they might have an issue and I'd say, oh my God, I just wrote something about that last night. But I didn't want them to read the whole thing. So I just cut out what they wrote and I try to fix it so they could understand it. And then it changed the meaning. And when Christ says you are of fine instead of you are fine, that's a great question. You don't realize what a great question that is. When you say, oh, you'll be fine, people will say, I hope so, thank you. Or I know I will be. I'll be fine, I'm always fine. But when Christ said being of fine, meaning that you have that capability to be fine, to be of fine. Fine is one way to be. It's interesting that just putting that word of fine helps your brain to see yourself as a potential of success. That you are of fine. You already have that in you. It is part of your makeup. That will never go away. You'll be fine assumes that you're not. You'll be fine carries a whole different energy than you'll be of fine. So Christ's language had such a purpose behind it, but I definitely had to rise along the way. There were so many things, and even till this moment in my life, that happen, and I don't understand them. But the difference is that now I may not know the meaning today of why something happened the way it did or does, but I know that I'm of fine. I know that Christ, that God, that angels, that friends, the great people that I can feel, all exist and are all there and will always be there. And no matter what we need, we have each other. And knowing that is that feeling of fine. Liam being able to get on the chat and say, hey, you know what? I made a huge decision yesterday. And it was big. It was epic. But I know I'm going to be fine. I know I will be fine saying I wasn't okay. But I am a fine. But it just sounds awkward to say it, doesn't it? But you know what, Leah, thank you because you reminded me of that. Because we get so caught up in speaking faster and knowing what everything means and that gentle gesture of being a fine. And he used the word cannot a lot, and I'd put it together and they'd keep coming back apart in my book. And when it was edited, they were putting them all back together because cannot as one word or can't was different than can not. When Christ spoke, little things like that, and I would type as fast as I could. When I was writing Origins of Truth, I was typing over 120 words a minute. I was literally typing as fast as I could think because I was writing so much in a short time. But I always knew he'd always say, you're a fine. It's amazing how just of in front of that word gave me a sense of strength as opposed to feeling like I was trying to get there. Okay, so she has a second question. Let's get that one. When first being taught about Christianity, I was taught that there is no language in heaven and that when a prophet is on earth, the energy of Christ, the angel or God, whomever they mostly speak to, gets channeled into language in the prophet's brain somehow, which is already hard to understand. But I read in Origins of Truth that Christ said something like that he is or was getting used to using language. So I'm curious to hear how it works and if he and the angels can choose to use language, although it is not necessary. If they can, then does that mean that they could literally start speaking in Chinese if they wanted to, just like that? Or is it also needed to be learned? For example, when of corny came up, that was too funny. Christ said he was learning what it meant. Does that mean he also has been learning language as he goes or does it just mean he learned what that meant to you. Actually, he was responding to my thinking, and my thinking, my thinking was that, you know, things like corny. I called myself a dork all the time, and I didn't know what a dork meant. And I was asked not to call myself that by this little angel, Mabel, and said, you know, don't call yourself a dork. And honestly, until it came up later in life, like maybe just maybe a month or two ago, I never looked up dork. My daughter looked it up because I started using that word again. And it's that Christ doesn't use a physical language because he doesn't need to. And I see on the chat, you're saying, Nadia, can I please ask about new love relationship coming into my life? Thank you. Yes, go ahead and ask it on the chat, and I'll finish answering this question, because this question is an interesting one, that Christ, when I first saw him, he was right in front of me and didn't say a word, but I knew everything. I knew everything. Like it was just like this drop of information that went from his head to mine. It was when he was in front of me, I was open to that information. And when he left, it left with him. But it opened that portal in me to be able to see him and hear him. But hearing him, I just knew everything. But because we are on earth, and because I speak this language, I speak in Arabic too. I don't know, maybe a little Spanish. But what happened is they speak to our capacity. Just whatever language it is, it's all known to Christ and to God, and these were created. It's not like us having to go to school and learn it. It's just something they know, like everything I knew when I saw Christ. And then when Christ went, so did all that information. So did all that information. And it was interesting that there were no words. But as he was starting to write through me, the language he used was like this, you know, like under, like I want to say agreement, but happiness, but abandonment. Or he would use the meant behind words that we normally didn't use meant behind. And so I was like, wow. But then when I realized that he was cementing the things we knew in us by adding the meant on the back, those were things I couldn't change. So do they use language, and is it necessary? Not always. But to write the books, I had to go through language, a language, to write them. And they will always speak to you in capacity. So let's say you only speak Italian, and you speak Italian all your life. You never spoke another word of another language, never heard it. When you pass, you're going to hear in Italian, because you have to be able to transition back, because the part of us that's here has been veiled. So when the veil comes off, we get happy. We want to go back, but we have to be spoken to. We have to be spoken to in a way that we can understand. So the language thing isn't like a question. Sometimes it is necessary, sometimes it isn't, but to transition us or to get to us somehow, we have to be able to, that's interesting, we have to just be able to understand, and whatever that takes, that's what they do. It's not like care school and we have to learn it all. It's all seen, always known. It's crazy. Number three, and I'll continue because I guess, Jules, your question didn't come up on the chat yet. And that's okay. And even if we don't get it today, we can get it next week if you don't get it up there. Number three was about Esna. I understand why you have including all the angels by names. But I'm wondering, with her, if it's the feminine energy of God, then it seems different, because then that would mean that there are more energies or sides to God. And then that makes me wonder why you didn't name them separately too. And it would seem too that he is endless. Thanks. Hope to find the time, and that these questions are valid, because from the dream, you said I had an energy to me of showing people. This question about the names, about Asna, there's only God. And he has a like static, like he's a wall, literally a wall of light. And he's pure intellect. And when you're in front of God, you know you're in front of God. There's like no mistaking it. And it's a calmness. It's not like a fear or anything. It's a total, I want to say, acceptance that comes from a pure intellect. God is a feminine and a masculine because we are in basically his image. And so we are feminine or masculine. Here we have bodies. We have bodies. So there we don't. So what happens is God, for us to be able to handle God's energy when we are in a body, we can't, somebody let Jules know we see her. There we go. We can't, how can I say that? Like, we can't handle the energy of God. So our bodies would combust. So God is going through us all the time. He's not many parts. He doesn't have many sides. He's just, it's like you taking out the side of you that feels more. When in school, you're just your intellect. Okay, I have to learn this. I'm going to do this. But then the part of you that feels wants to read books about, you know, love or relationships or caring or how to be, because some people, how to be is completely foreign to them. How to be nice or how to share or how to reciprocate or how to not hurt somebody's feelings or how to not be disrespectful. So when we have those feelings, we learn those things. So the way God keeps his eye on us, keeps us in check, keeps us close, because we're never far away. Asna flows through us. And I remember the story I told you guys about how we are all connected from the navel, from the belly button, which is our connection to our mothers and our connections that keep us alive before we're born, that we are always connected. If you can imagine an invisible umbilical cord, like a golden thread that connects every single human being. And that golden thread has that feminine energy continuously going through us and God. It's like God's arm is out and hugging us all the time. No matter how bad your day is, no matter how good your day is, God is always flowing through you. So when people discovered that something is going on like that, and some people had vision, some people were privy to that information, when that happens all day, people started calling it, oh, you guys, we're one. Oh, you guys, there's a collective consciousness. All of those terms came from an understanding that something was going on that was keeping us connected. So like, I'm here, and someone might be in Italy, and someone might be in Ireland, and someone might be in Australia, and that energy is continuously flowing through over and over and over again. It's amazing. So what happens is, it's not that is in parts, it's that we are connected. And so the only one I could name was Asna. And the only thing I could say about God is God. Christ doesn't go through God. Nobody else flows through God. Only God can be part of God. We are not, like I want to say, that heavy or strong of an energy because we could not sustain. We're like little specks in this body. Our body work. The minute the soul leaves the body doesn't even look like the body anymore. That's it. The life of that body is done. But the soul has to leave it. So the soul goes somewhere. So people started figuring this out along the way in life. And books were written about it. And, you know, things like that were happening that, you know, people started to be able to explain and write books about. And the more we know, the more we can do. And the more we do, and the more we realize, the more humane we get. And then there's people who fight it, and the less humane they get. And that's the duality we have on Earth. So I know we're running out of time, you guys, but great questions. Jules, your connection didn't work well enough for you to ask your question. I'm sorry about that. Try again next week. Maybe you could ask me in my inbox for next week. You guys have a great weekend. I will see you on Monday. I love you guys so very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.